Take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
CannabisRadio.com presents The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hey, this is great, man. Well, on the
earth. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Monday, May 9th, 2016, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the show. We're coming to you live, or actually recorded live. We're not really live at the moment, but recorded live here from the Gaylord Palms Resort in Kissimmee, Florida, or Kissimmee, Florida. I get the pronunciation right there one of these days. Right by Walt Disney World here in Orlando. It's a beautiful resort, and it is the site of the Marijuana Business Conference and Expo brought to you by MJ Business Daily. And folks, this conference is huge. We're talking hundreds of vendors, thousands of attendees. I think they said 3,000 people were attending. This may be one of the biggest conferences I've ever covered. Today is a crash course in marijuana business. Folks are just enjoying plenary sessions. There is no expo set up yet. Tomorrow will be the expo set up and all the breakout sessions. And, of course, we will bring you all sorts of interviews and highlights from the expo floor here in Orlando, Florida. As, of course, medical marijuana is on the ballot again here in the Sunshine State. Amendment 2 is its denomination again, so people don't even have to change their yard signs. Looks pretty positive for medical marijuana passing in Florida this year, and that's why all of these business entrepreneurs are here at the event. But today's show is all about what was happening yesterday, actually 2 days ago, the Global Cannabis March on Saturday, which took place all over the world, 300 cities or more participating. And I've heard some great reports from some of these cities. I was in Fort Worth, Texas with DFW Normal, marching with them from Hyde Park to the Tarrant County Courthouse. And it was quite an amazing turnout, especially when you're considering we're talking about Cowtown, Texas. We have all sorts of great speeches and speakers and highlights from that event, and that's going to be the subject of today's show, the Russ Belville Show, all from Fort Worth, Texas, this weekend. We've got Sean McAllister, we've got Barbara Humphreys, all sorts of people speaking out, Eric Espinoza, and a couple of speeches from myself as well. That's coming up here in Hour 1, plus more in Hour 2. So today is all about Texas, all about the Global Cannabis March. And I hope you had a good time at your Cannabis March. Remember, there'll be a show today and tomorrow and Wednesday. Thursday, we'll have no show because I will be flying from Orlando, Florida to Anchorage, Alaska. One of the longest flights of the year for me, making my way to Anchorage to the second annual Northwest Cannabis Classic. I'll be emceeing once again for Corey and Kendra up there in Anchorage. It is the premier event in Alaska. It may be the only event in Alaska, but that doesn't mean it's not the premier event, right? So I will be there emceeing and delivering some speeches and meeting with folks in the 49th state, America's last frontier, the great state of Alaska. So enjoy the Russ Belville Show all through the rest of the week. We do have the Cannabis Radio News coming up next. And in our radio news headlines today, we've got that Missouri initiative likely to make the ballot. Sacramento, California, they're looking at banning marijuana smoking if landlords don't like it. Augusta, Maine is looking at hiding the marijuana magazines behind the counter. There's some votes coming up in Northern California on outdoor grow bans and taxation. And right here in Orlando today, they're deciding whether to join other Florida cities and counties in decriminalizing marijuana. It's all coming up on the Russ Belville Show. Stay tuned. We're back with the news right after this.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, FiredUpLawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your Fired Up Lawyer, or email firedup.lawyer@gmail.com.
Educator, author, and advocate Dr. Mitch Earlywine is here to tackle the burning issues.
And I'm here to clear up the myths about cannabis and burn them away with science.
CannabisRadio.com presents a no-holds-barred platform that seeks to redefine and revolutionize the entire scope of the cannabis culture while opening the door for more to join the cannabis crusade.
Dr. Kevin Hill.
You can't ignore the fact that, like alcohol, most people who use don't have a problem. So I think that you need to think about policy in that way while educating people properly about marijuana. I think that's the way to go.
Burning Issues, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Dr. Dabber, hurry! Its temperature is shooting past 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It's burning up!
I'm afraid for this little guy, it's just too late.
What caused the problem?
Only Dr. Dabber can maintain the perfect temperature for a smooth-tasting, slower burn. This standard vaporizer lost all of its health benefits, sending it up in smoke.
So you're telling me that most vapor pens burn so hot they produce smoke, not vapor?
Correct! Keep away from those standard vaporizer pens and turn to Dr. Dabber. Doctor's orders.
Less heat? More flavor.
It's time for the Cannabis Radio News. Covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Cannabis Radio News is now available exclusively at CannabisRadio.com. Now your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is Cannabis Radio News.
This is your Cannabis Radio News for Monday, May 9th, 2016. Jefferson City, Missouri. Activists with New Approach Missouri have submitted their petition signatures to place a medical marijuana initiative on the November ballot. Activists needed over 160,000 valid signatures with a statutory minimum from 6 of 8 congressional districts. Amber Langston, an activist with Show Me Cannabis, tells Cannabis Radio News they turned in more than 250,000 signatures. Missouri's medical marijuana program, should it make the ballot and pass, would be the most expansive medical marijuana passed in the United States since 2008. Unlike recent states that have forbidden home cultivation and smokable marijuana, Missouri's law would allow patients to cultivate 6 plants at home and to purchase raw cannabis flowers and other products from a system of dispensaries. Sacramento, California. Assembly Bill 2300, which would allow California landlords to prohibit the smoking of marijuana within their properties, has passed the Assembly and is being heard by the Senate. California law already prohibits smoking medical marijuana anywhere tobacco is banned, which includes most public places. The California Apartment Association, which sponsored the bill, said it was important to give landlords the explicit right to ban marijuana smoking as they can ban tobacco smoking. Marijuana activists were quick to note that such a restriction could impact the health of medical marijuana patients, but the bill's author, Assemblyman Jim Wood, disagreed, saying, quote, Prop 215 does not specifically mention the right to smoke marijuana. Qualified patients will still be able to obtain and use medical marijuana through all other non-smoking ways, end quote, such as edibles and oils. Activist groups are holding out for an exemption for vaporization of cannabis. Augusta, Maine. The legalization initiative that recently made the ballot in Maine will require retailers to place pot-themed magazines like High Times and Dope behind the counter like pornography. Marijuana Policy Project, the D.C.-based organization leading the initiative campaign, rejected such a restriction to Colorado's marijuana laws just 3 years ago. Communications Director Mason Tvert in 2013 told Reason Magazine, quote, The fact that legislators passed this rule, despite being informed it is a gross violation of the U.S. Constitution, demonstrates the bigotry that still exists with regard to marijuana, end quote. MPP's backing of the Maine initiative does not, however, indicate their wishes to have such a magazine ban. MPP joined with the grassroots group Legalize Maine, and the censorship was part of their initiative language, not MPP's. A constitutional challenge to the restriction is bound to be successful. Northern California. Localities in Northern California are set to decide marijuana measures in a vote this June 7th that could seriously impact outdoor cannabis farming. In Nevada County, voters will decide whether to keep a ban on outdoor cannabis cultivation approved earlier by the Board of Supervisors. In Yuba County, voters will also decide on overturning an outdoor cannabis cultivation ban by allowing grows of 6 plants on less than an acre and up to 60 plants on grounds 20 acres in size or larger. City of Sacramento voters will decide on a 5% tax on commercial grows. City of Davis voters will decide whether to institute a 10% tax on retail adult-use marijuana even before legalization is voted on this fall. Orlando, Florida. Orlando's City Council this afternoon will be deciding whether to join other Florida cities and counties in decriminalization of personal possession of marijuana. Since the ordinance passed its first reading, councilors amended the language to increase the proposed $50 municipal fine for possession to $100 for a first offense, $200 for the second, and $500 plus a court appearance for subsequent offenses. Councilors also added a diversion program for indigent violators to opt for community service or substance abuse education in lieu of paying the fine. Orlando would join the cities of Miami Beach, Hallandale Beach, Key West, West Palm Beach, Wilton Manors, and Tampa, as well as Miami-Dade, Broward, Palm Beach, and Volusia counties, in some form of local decriminalization of marijuana possession. This has been your Cannabis Radio News for Monday, May 9th, 2016. I'm Russ Belville. With over 6 years of experience in the industry, New Era CPAs is one of the nation's leading cannabis accounting firms, helping hundreds of growers, dispensaries, and ancillary companies with their tax, legal, and business strategies. New Era CPAs offices cover the West Coast from Seattle to San Diego, and their skilled team is always available to help you take your business to the next level. Visit NewEraCPAs.com for more info and set up a consultation. Welcome to the New Era.
Gondrepreneur.com, your guide to the cannabis business world. Gondrepreneur.com is a comprehensive resource for cannabis professionals and entrepreneurs. Download the Gondrepreneur app on your smartphone or tablet to catch up on cannabis industry news, scroll through our daily job listings, and learn about successful cannabis companies, executives, and investors. Gondrepreneur.com, helping gondrepreneurs grow.
Activism begins with ACT. The Russ Belville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
Welcome, everybody, to the 2016 Global Cannabis March. Are you ready? This is a march about celebration of freedom and reclaiming our Ninth Amendment rights as Americans. So glad to have you here. We've got a bunch of great speakers joining us today, too, so that you can fill your mind with all the resources you need to help convince people that this war on a plant is not working, is not necessary, and is bound to fail. So, we're going to learn more about this because there's a lot of aspects of the cannabis plant. There's the industrial hemp aspect. I'm wearing a hemp shirt and a hemp hat today to prove that. There is the adult use aspect, just relaxing like you would a glass of wine with some friends. But I think one of the most important aspects of cannabis is its medical aspect. That's how we started reform on the West Coast in the mid-90s. That's how reform is certainly spreading across the United States today. Joining us to discuss the medical aspect of cannabis, we've got a great guest here, Christy Zartler. She is from Mothers Advocating Medical Marijuana for Autism. One of the first people I interviewed on my show for the Russ Belville Show. Hey there, Old Town Cycle Party. Yeah, legalize it.
Smoke a doobie.
And not only that, renewable energy source. I like that. Christy's going to tell you about Mothers Advocating Medical Marijuana for Autism. Some of the first people I spoke to on the medical marijuana aspect, Marie Myung-Ok Lee and now I forgot the other lady's name, but who both Yeah, there's so many that have dealt with their children's autism by using cannabis. She's going to tell us more about it. Give a big hand to Christy Zartler from Mama.
Hooray!
Hello! Can everyone hear me? Okay. Okay, I'm going to say it again. I'm from Mama, Mothers Advocating Medical Marijuana for Autism. Mama is an organization dedicated to promoting the medical use of cannabis for autism. Mama advocates for the legalization of whole plant medical cannabis. We are working very hard to get autism listed as a qualifying condition in each state as our lawmakers change medical cannabis laws. How many people here know somebody with autism? Can you raise your hand? So that's a pretty big number there. Okay. Autism rates have risen 14,000% since 1970. Currently, 1 in 68 people have autism. And if you are a male, it's 1 in 42. If this trend continues in 20 years, 1 in 2 people will qualify for an autism diagnosis. There is no cure for autism, and we don't know what causes it. The medication prescribed by doctors that are used to treat autism are harmful to our bodies, organs. And most importantly, it causes permanent brain damage, irreversible. So I'm speaking here today to ask for your support and your help for our autistic community here in Texas. Autism patients in Texas need help from each and every single one of you here. So please reach out and start a conversation with friends, your family, and neighbors about medical cannabis. Learn who your legislatures are and get out there and vote. Send your legislatures an email or call their office or make an appointment and speak to them. Be polite and courteous. They have no knowledge and don't understand the plant as a medicine. Let's see. If you need help getting started, just reach out to any of the leaderships in DFW Normal. That's where I got started. That was just last year. All the information is out there, and all you have to do is look for it and read it and learn about it. And you will find that there are very many advocate groups out there. They are easy to contact, and they will answer all of your questions, and they can lead you in the direction that you want to be in this cause. So I'm happy to see everyone here today, and I see a lot of familiar faces. And so I just get started and help the patients of Texas. Thanks for coming today, and let's have a peaceful and wonderful march.
Hooray!
Once again, give it up for Mothers Advocating Medical Marijuana for Autism.
Boot to the head.
Ow, you booted me in the head!
Coming soon to a city near you, Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. Get all your cannabis accounting, legal, and compliance questions answered by their knowledgeable panel of industry experts who want to help your cannabis boom. Whether you're a grower, dispensary operator, or a newcomer to the field, your cannabis needs Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. For information on upcoming events, visit CannabisFinanceBootcamp.com.
Growing green to generate more green.
Hello to all you happy herbalizers, smiling trippy hippies, and everyone who believes in freedom and tolerance. This is The Grow Show, and I'm Kyle Cushman.
From food to fuel, from remedy to resource.
Welcome my guest, Ed Rosenthal, the guru of ganja. Let me ask you, right now I hear your lighter clicking. Are you smoking indoor or are you smoking sun grown?
What am I smoking? I'm smoking concentrate.
Way to get out of the answer there. So you're truly like the king, right? You just clap your hands and somebody brings you a bowl and you're all set, right?
I wish that were the case.
The Grow Show with Kyle Cushman, only on CannabisRadio.com. Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolute, Carlsberg, and Nestlé trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
Promoting the end of adult cannabis prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It's even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more on this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
And new, let's give some appreciation to the Fort Worth PD for being cool.
All right.
I'll tell you, it may sound like a weird reason, but one of the reasons I want to legalize marijuana is because I like cops. I like cops. I like law and order. I like being able to call someone if someone's breaking into my place or someone's beating someone up or whatever. You know, I want the traffic to be smooth and orderly. And I think we shouldn't waste their time dealing with us. Now, I talk to a lot of cops all over the country when I do this job. And I say, you know, what would you rather do? You know, work a pot rally or work the football game where they got beer for sale? They're like, oh, by far the pot rally. By far the pot rally. We're easygoing, peaceful, loving, kind people. And they know that. Most of the cops know that. It's usually their superiors that aren't too cool with it, right? Because they know where the budgets come from, and they know where the votes are, and they know how people think. But at the street cop level, they're cool about it because they know we're not a big problem in the world, right? So that's part of why I want to legalize. I've got cousins who are cops. I don't want them getting into some situation where somebody's shooting at them over weed. Because really, the worst thing about weed is that it's illegal. And because it's illegal, it leads to crime and violence, right? You take the illegality out of it, there's no more crime and violence. I live in Portland, Oregon, where if one weed dealer's got a problem with another weed dealer, they don't shoot each other, they go to court.
Yes!
They can just take it to court, right? Because it's legal. Right? When we got people that are selling weed in Portland, Oregon, the proceeds of that aren't going to buy the dealer a new Xbox. They're helping to pay for a school. Right? We sold in Oregon in our first month of legal sales $14 million worth of marijuana. That to me says there's $14 million worth of illegal trade that is now legal trade, that now became taxed and regulated and inspected. When I'm buying a bag of weed, I know how much THC is in it, how much CBD is in it, whether or not pesticides were used on it, whether it was grown indoor, outdoor, or greenhouse, how long ago it was grown, who grew that marijuana. I can go online and look up their record as to whether or not they've been cited in the past for any of these problems. That's the way legality can change this. And it's an honorable thing you're fighting for here today. Some people will put us down as a bunch of potheads, a bunch of weed heads. No, we are freedom fighters in the mold of our founding fathers who grew hemp. Right? Couple other quick statistics for you. When it comes to the growth of the marijuana industry, the growth of marijuana, one of the things our opponents have been very scared of, and they said, oh, Mike, we can't legalize weed because what about the children? What about the children? Here's an interesting stat. Looking back 10 years ago, when you counted up how many teenage pot smokers there were, regular pot smokers, like once a month or more, right? Take that number of teenage pot smokers from 10 years ago, 12 to 17, and you compare it to the number of pot smokers over the age of 50, it was 2 to 1. There was 2 teenage pot smokers for every 1 senior pot smoker. 10 years later, those numbers have flipped. There are now 2 senior pot smokers for every 1 teenage pot smoker, and the teenage pot smokers didn't go up any. Senior pot smokers went up from about 0.9 million in the country to 3.9 2.1 million in the country. They've nearly tripled the number of older people smoking pot. You know why? Because young people can get pot. They've got a hookup. They know a guy at the school or at the lot or at work or something. They got a man. They got a guy. They can get their weed. Guys my age, we're not going to hang out in the Walgreens parking lot waiting for you to show up with a bag. We got jobs and kids and work to do. So once you legalize it, suddenly people my age and older are the ones flooding the pot stores. It's for sure, man. All the Portland and Washington and Denver pot stores I've been to, it's middle-aged folks and older getting their legal weed. I think that's a beautiful thing. And one last stat for you. When it comes to women and men in marijuana legalization, women's support of marijuana legalization in national polls always lags 7 to 12 points behind men. Men generally support legalization. Women are generally 7 to 12 points behind. Now, part of this is because of demographics. When you look at people who have ever smoked pot in their lifetime, it's about 52-48. More men than women, but about even. When you look at people that are smoking pot every day, where are you? Where's my everyday? Look how many male hands went up in the air, right? When you look at people that smoke pot every day, it's 2-1 men to women. There's 2 everyday male pot smokers for every 1 everyday female pot smoker. So ladies, if you're looking for a fella, smoke more weed. We're out there waiting for you.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 1920s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
The next generation of vaporizers has arrived. Voober vaporizers are blazing the way with unparalleled technology for oil, concentrate, or dry flower pens. Providing unsurpassed customer service and expert craftsmanship, Voober vaporizers use cutting-edge technology, providing a power-packed, smoother vapor with a lifetime guarantee. Experience vaporizing the way it was meant to be. The Voober way.
The cannabis community is a diverse set of people from all walks of life. Conservative and liberal, black and white, straight and gay, rich and poor, and everyone in between. Learn more about the people we are freeing from adult cannabis prohibition in our cannabis community chat.
Check, check, 1, 2. Can you hear me, Fort Worth?
Yeah!
How about we hear from another veteran? How about we hear from a woman veteran?
Yeah!
That's kicking some ass for marijuana law reform in Texas right now. She's part of Women Grow. Give it up for Kate Morgan.
Hello, hello. This is an amazing, amazing event. I want to thank DFW Normal for allowing Women Grow to come in here and be a part of this amazing, inspiring event. As everybody knows, laws are changing. And where do you find out where these laws are changing? Does anybody know? Google? How about we have organizations that can help you figure that out?
Amen.
MPP. Anybody know what that is? Anybody? These are places that you need to start going out and lobbying for. What Women Grow does is we help connect people into the industry. We want to make sure that everybody has a fair chance, but you have to show up. You have to come out. You have to use your voice because you are what makes us strong. United we are, and that's how we started this, and that's how it's going to end up, and that's how we're going to get to that finish line. Like he was saying, I was in the United States Navy. I was with the Fleet Marine Force for about 5 years and 6 years total. I got out, and I did what everybody does. Let's go drink. Let's go party. Let's maybe go to college. Maybe. I don't know, right? And you start thinking, what am I supposed to be doing with my life, right? So I drank a lot, because that's what you do in the military. You're told to go out and commiserate over a beer. Hey, you know what ale is? I didn't know what it was when I first got in, but I damn sure found out. You know, I was like, I got to figure out this beer thing, because I smoked weed in high school. That's what all the soccer players did. You didn't have a hangover, you didn't have any problems, and you felt better the next day. But everybody's telling us that it's bad for us, okay? And mentioning that, you know, we're hitting balls with our heads. So we might get concussions, and what do you think the weed is doing? It's helping us! And those women go on to be doctors, attorneys, patrons of the county, one of the best soccer players. Women's soccer right now brings in more money than the males. Hello? Women have to come out, and so do men. This is not men versus women. What this is uniting us together, understanding that we have to do this together. You must vote. You must lobby, and damn sure you better smoke that weed. Thank you. Operation Trapped is Texas Normal. It's something veterans are doing. We're raising awareness. We're raising awareness to veterans who are dying 22 a day. Did you know statistically, they do not count California and Texas in the suicide rate. They are not documenting it. So it could be 40 to 50 a day. This is a problem. This is an epidemic. We have to unite to let our soldiers, our sailors, our Coasties, our Air Force, everybody to come back. We got them home safe. We got to keep them that way. Thank you. Please vote.
You know, I think we should just keep up this streak. How about another veteran? How about a veteran that owns a business? How about a veteran who's using hemp to power his business? A veteran that invented a pen made of hemp plastic, based right here out of Fort Worth. Does that sound cool to you?
Yeah.
Give it up for my friend, Mark Linde of Greenspring Technologies.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. Yeah, it's great to see everybody here. I got a question. Show of hands. How many people know you can take plants and turn it into plastic? Raise your hand. We can take plant material and turn it into plastic. But somehow our government tells us certain plants are illegal. Explain that to me. Huh? It makes no sense. The hemp pen. We're making the hemp pen. It's made with 100% plant material. 100% plant material. The hemp is from Kentucky. The corn is from the Plain States. 100% grown and manufactured in the U.S. The factories in Fort Worth, Texas, and we work with as many veteran companies and disabled and social services wherever possible. It's really important to us to keep the economy here. We don't want to see any more plants closed. We don't want to see any more jobs jobs closed because the plant moved overseas because it was cheaper to make overseas. We don't want to see that happen. And plant-based materials is a solution. Let me tell you, folks. So please support what we're doing, and please support the other companies as well. We're not the only ones. There are an amazing number of companies all around the world that are doing insane things with hemp. There's a guy, a Canadian guy, in Costa Rica building an airplane out of hemp. There's a guy in Key West, Florida, driving a car made out of hemp. There are people all over the world building houses made with hemp. But somehow our government tells us it should be illegal to grow that plant. Makes no sense. The pens are going to be available online soon. Best thing is to like us on Facebook. We'll let you know when our e-commerce site is up. We have 3D printed pens available right now. Stop and see us on the way back. The injection molded pens will be available in a couple weeks, and we'll let you know. We got a real cool video that Sean McAllister did a really good job putting together for us. And we think you're going to like it. So thanks, everybody, for your support.
You ready to give it a quick sure, 5 minutes?
Radical Russ here in Fort Worth in Hyde Park for the Global Cannabis March, Fort Worth, Texas, under DFW Normal. And run into our good friend Barbara Humphreys. How you doing, Barbara?
Great. How are you?
Fantastic. I see you've got art for sale.
Yes, I do. Lots of art. I have paintings and jewelry and all kinds of stuff to sell, t-shirts and whatnot.
You are the patient outreach coordinator for DFW Normal. I know there's been a recent law that's been passed here in Texas, but how are things going on the patient advocacy side?
The law is a very limited bill for intractable epilepsy, so it's only really for a small fraction of people. We have a lot of work to do still. We have a lot of lobbying to do. In 2017, it's going to be a new session. There'll be new bills. We'll be pressing them hard back at the Capitol, doing our thing.
Right on. How are things going for you personally?
Awesome. I've been finished with my cancer treatment since October. And I feel awesome, and I'm growing hair, and yeah. I get more energy every day.
Were your doctors all cool with your cannabis use?
Yeah, I talked to them, most of my doctors and nurses. In fact, I got a few of them to write me some letters that I read at the last march, talking about how they wish they could prescribe it to me because they can see the benefits and how it helped me during my cancer treatments.
Wow. So minds are changing out here in Texas, even if the law is changing slowly.
Yes, definitely. I change minds every day. We all change minds.
That's right.
So this is I like this guy's t-shirt. I just want to smoke bud and watch Green Bay football. Go Pack, go. Here in Dallas, that's tough to say, but go Pack, go.
Right?
This is an amazing event we got here. We got a group of young kids, skateboarders, playing some hacky sack, so you know it's an official weed event.
Right? For sure.
Booths all around us and all sorts of stuff being sold here. Is this as big as it's been in Fort Worth?
It's been bigger, but people usually tend to show up closer to the march time, so it'll grow for sure.
All right. Well, we're going to keep on keeping on here at the Global Cannabis March, my 11th anniversary of activism. Barbara, thanks for stopping by with us.
Thank you very much.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
NARMAL stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks. even though the risks may be far less than those posed by legal drugs.
Don't want to spend money on a night out, but don't know what to do other than watching TV or playing video games? Consider playing guitar, bass, banjo, or mandolin. The instrument will give you hours of entertainment with friends with minimal expense. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
Must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical Rant.
You ready to give it a quick 5 minutes?
Ladies and gentlemen, there are only a few people that I really, really, really look up to the point where I want to listen to their voice every single day. Russ Belville puts on a 2-hour radio show 5 days a week, and you better believe I'm listening. You know why? Because he's tuned in to the news in a way that I've never seen a marijuana activist before. And I get my news from him so I can lead this chapter and the state of Texas the most meaningful and best way possible. Please give it up for my friend, Russ Belville.
Thank you. Wow. Thank you so much,
and give it up again for Sean McAllister, the best chapter leader on the planet. This is my third time in the Dallas-Fort Worth area to do this march. I'm always so heartened to see so many people come out, because I live in Portland, Oregon most of the time, and I don't know if you check the news, but we legalized weed there. Yeah, it's legal there. Like, if I don't like the weed for sale at the shop on 24th Street, I walked four blocks down to the one on 28th Street. Or the one on 32nd, or the one on 42nd, or the one on 62nd, or the one on 79th, or the one on 109th. You get the picture? There are over 200 working retail outlets for marijuana shoppers in the city of Portland, Oregon. And yet, something very strange happened. The sky did not fall. People still went to work. Kids still went to school. People went shopping and played soccer, and everything is still the same as it was before, except when I want weed, I don't gotta call a guy, wait a half hour, go to the parking lot, wait another half hour to see if he shows up, take him back to his place, listen to his band, shitty mixtape, get him to my friend. That's really the only difference. Oh, there's another difference though. In the state of Oregon, in our first month of legal marijuana sales, we sold $14 million worth of marijuana. And that's not false inflation, $14 million on $300 ounces. That's $150 to $200 ounces that we are talking about. Because here's an unalienable truth about marijuana legalization. Legalization crashes prices. The price of weed crashes. There was just a story in the Washington Post. Washington State started off at $25 a gram. They're now averaging $9.62 a gram. And that's with the world's highest marijuana tax included. 37% excise tax plus 6-9% state and local tax. We're still talking $9.62 a gram. Wholesale, $2.99 a gram wholesale. So, and yet, even with that price coming down, we've created thousands of jobs, and not just the jobs in the pot shops or growing the marijuana or trading or processing it, but guys who make dab pick tools, guys who make vacuum purge ovens, guys who make all sorts of things that they never thought would
would have anything to do with marijuana. I do these trade shows all over the country. And I end up talking to these guys that, you know, really kind of look out of place, you know? They look a little like me, a little short hair, a little laid back and square. And I start talking to them, I interview them for my show. I say, well, what do you sell? Well, vacuum purge ovens. Well, what does that do? Well, it was originally made for hospital, medical grade, like a hip replacement or a knee replacement. They got to put these parts in there and vacuum purge and make sure there's absolutely no chance of infection whatsoever. Vacuum is a medical device kind of thing. Like, oh, so what happened here? Well, it also turns out you need vacuum purge ovens to take butane off the hash oil after you've made it. So this guy's business has quintupled since the legalization of marijuana. So when people are out there, some of them, you know, they may be driving by or they're not part of our group, you know, people that aren't as educated, they may think that legalizing pot has nothing to do with them. Au contraire, it has everything to do with you. And that's the important thing. We all know, you know, don't you? You know, we all know. This is a plant, it's no big deal, it should be legal, right? Yeah. Only 14% of the U.S. public smokes pot on a regular basis, so we got another 86-88% of people to convince, and we can try and convince them with medical, and there's all sorts of great arguments for that, and there's arguments for hemp, but I also want to give you a glimpse of the future to show you how important it is to legalize for a right that I call Nunya. Ain't none of your damn business why I smoke a pot. Whether I'm sick, healthy, religious, atheist, what, it doesn't matter. It's my right. The Constitution has something in it called the Ninth Amendment that says, the enumeration in this Constitution of certain rights is not meant to deny or disparage others that are retained by the people. I'll translate that from 18th century. We couldn't write all your rights down. You've got a whole bunch of rights. We're not going to write, you have the right to breathe air. You have the right to kiss your wife. You have the right to eat a steak. We're not going to write them all down. And if these guys were growing hemp and writing it on hemp paper, I think they would have thought we'd have the right to grow hemp, don't you?
Yeah!
So we've got this right, and we need to start exercising that and portraying that as a right, because there's certain dangers inherent in the medical marijuana argument. And I've seen this because I've been in Oregon where they've had medical since 1998. And what we've seen is the evolution of medical marijuana is the first states, California, Oregon, Washington, Colorado, Montana, they had what we call whole plant medical marijuana. You're a patient, grow a plant, heal yourself.
Yeah.
That's the miracle of medical marijuana. It's not that that marijuana is such the great healing herb. It is. But that's not the main point. The main point is it takes the doctors and the pharmaceutical companies and the insurance industry out of our healing. So when medical marijuana came along, it was whole plant. You could grow your own medicine and treat yourself. Hoorah! But they, of course, did not like that, those who opposed marijuana. And the next round, starting in 2010 in Arizona, the next round of medical marijuana laws were no home grow. In Arizona, they set up a rule called the 25-mile halo. It says if you live within 25 miles of a dispensary, you can't home grow. Well, hello, Arizona is what? A few cities and a bunch of desert. So wherever someone's living, there's bound to be a dispensary, and you're bound to be within 25 miles of it. And it so happens that in the state of Arizona now, 97.2% of the patients live within 25 miles of a dispensary. Now that sucks for patients, but it's great for a dispensary owner. Great for dispensary, right?
You should get a shot.
So that's been the laws that passed in Arizona and a few other eastern states where all of these can't grow it yourself, but you can shop at a dispensary. Well, hell, we wanted medical marijuana to get out of the pharmacy and out of the doctor and out of the middlemen. They're trying to bring the middlemen back in. And the latest round of these, starting in 2014 with Minnesota and New York, now most recently Pennsylvania, I can't even call them medical marijuana states because you cannot have plant. You can only have non-smokable varieties of cannabis. So now we're taking the whole plant out of it and making it yet another thing in a pill bottle or another thing in a syrup bottle or another thing in an inhaler that they can barcode, patent, and overcharge us for. Do we want that? So it's good to argue for medical, yeah, because it opens people's minds, but you got to realize that is a stepping stone that leads to the argument of, look, if we're not going to lock up the sick people, why would we lock up the healthy people? And here's about medical marijuana laws, when you draw this line, when you make a medical marijuana law, you're drawing a line that says, above this line, if you're over this sick or over this disabled, we won't put you in a cage. But if you're under this line, sorry, Charlie, you're going to jail. And the problem is, somebody who deserves medical is always going to fall under that line. So we have the mama here, right? Mothers Advocating Medical Marijuana for Autism. Yeah. Hell yeah. Pennsylvania, the 24th medical marijuana state, is the first to recognize autism as a condition for medical marijuana treatment. You can't get medical marijuana in Oregon for your kid for autism. It's not on our list yet. Well, the hell with these lists. Let's go with what works. I'm tired of these people telling us we need to have the FDA tell us that the drug is medicine before it's actually medicine. Do you stop and think about it? Every drug ever recalled was once approved by the FDA. Thalidomide and Vioxx and drugs that killed people. And we've got 7,000 years of documentable evidence that marijuana has not killed anyone by overdose. This goes back to the Chinese emperors, and you know what they'll say? They'll say, well, that's not science. That's just anecdotal evidence. That's just anecdotes. Barbara here, she's just an anecdote. You're just an anecdote, Barbara. My friend LK, he was a veteran, PTSD, he's passed now. Just an anecdote. Little Alexis Martel, 400 days seizure free. Just an anecdote. I'll tell you what, I'll take even one surviving anecdote over all of your delay in science any day. We don't need the FDA to tell us what we can see with our own damn two eyes. We can see a child stop seizing. When we can see a cancer on someone's skin fading away. When we can see someone who has suffered through the horrors of war or rape trauma or any number of things that can cause post-traumatic stress to finally be able to relax. Our problem in fighting for this, though, is that the other side, they'll allow medical marijuana because there's a little moral game that's going on here. Well, you know, potheads are bad, but someone suffered from cancer. That's worse. So we'll let them smoke. But in accepting that argument, there's an inherent, but if you're not sick enough, you're a criminal. You ever heard that saying that sometimes in the medical marijuana states, they'll say, we're patients, not criminals. None of us are criminals. We may be outlaws. We're outlaws at the moment, but we ain't criminals. We are good, law-abiding people.
Yes, we are!
And when you really get down to the nuts and bolts of this, this drug war, and particularly this marijuana war, is a tool of control based in inherent systemic racism and classism in this society. Just recently, there was an unearthed quote that was in Harper's Magazine, front page story, and it dates back to the Nixon era. Richard Nixon. Tricky Dick Nixon. And it was Ehrlichman, which is his public policy advisor, speaking to this reporter who had asked him about the war on drugs. Because a little history lesson, back in 1970, Nixon wanted the scientific backing cracking down on pot. So he hired this governor named Raymond Schaefer. They put together a commission. He's got this Republican governor working on it. By God, we'll get a damn hard lesson on pot for these kids. The governor came back and said, you know, really, we ought to decriminalize it. In 1970, they came up with this. The federal government came back with a report and said, we studied the whole thing and it ought to be decriminalized. And Nixon went, well, screw that, threw it in the wastebasket. So, when they were at this, reporter's asking about that. He's asking about how Nixon and how they came up with the drug war despite the commission saying it should be decrim. And Ehrlichman said, and I'm paraphrasing because I don't remember the quote exactly, is that they knew that this war on drugs was bunk, but they also knew that if they could demonize marijuana and heroin, they could infiltrate the black power and hippie power movements, the left-wing movements, anti-Vietnam War movements, that were brewing in that day. We knew if we associated the blacks with heroin and the hippies with marijuana, we could infiltrate their leadership, break up their meetings, and end their power.
Right.
So that's exactly what this is based on, and that's what it's still based on. Marijuana is what I like to call the police's magic key to your Fourth Amendment. If they say the magic three words, "I smell weed," suddenly your rights go out the window. They start rifling through your car and packing down and searching it and booking it. It's all a tool of keeping us controlled. The police know that marijuana doesn't really make people violent or belligerent or criminal, but they also know "I smell weed" is a handy way to start messing with someone they think is up to something. Like, "I know that long hair is up to no good. I know that tattooed fella's up to no good. I know that guy's up to no good. But I can't really prove it." What's that? "I smell weed." Or worse, they bring up the canine dog, as if it's a scientific tool. Understand that over 50,000 years of human dog evolution has led the dog brain to want to please its master. If that cop wants that dog to alert, it will alert. Whether the cop thinks he's trying to make it alert or not. There's a really cool study they did on this. They took these canine cop teams, a whole bunch of them, and they sent them to four different rooms. They filmed what happened in the four different rooms. Now, here's the setup of the rooms. The room can either have a red piece of paper or not. The door on the door. Red piece of paper on the door or not. And the red piece of paper says, "There's drugs in here." And the room can either have drugs in it or not. Right? So if you do the math, that makes four rooms. A red room with drugs, a red room without drugs, a blank room with drugs, a blank room without drugs. Now, if the dog's a scientific instrument, it could give a shit what color paper is on the door. Because its nose is going to detect the drugs, it's going to detect it in the rooms that have drugs and not in the room that doesn't. But the cop, that red piece of paper means everything. That's where I think I can get a bust or an arrest. And so they ran the test, and guess where the dogs tended to alert more? On the red piece of paper, not the drugs. The rooms where there was drugs and no red piece of paper, the dogs didn't alert as much as rooms that had a red piece of paper and no drugs. So that proved that it's the handler, it's the human being that's running that dog that causes the problem. So we are up against this tool of control, and marijuana is so entwined into so much of this control. They say that there's not a lot of people in jail or prison for marijuana. They'll say, "Well, there's only 0.1% of people in jail for marijuana." Well, yeah, how many people are in jail? 2.3 million, 0.1%. What is that, 2,300? That's some people in jail for marijuana, ain't it? And they don't count a lot of people who are in jail technically they're actually in jail for marijuana, but technically not. Like, if you got busted in a fist fight for assault, you're a young man, you got drunk, you hit someone, you got assault on the rest. You clean up your act, then you're on probation. Either they bust you for peeing hot on probation. When they put you back in jail, it's not for failing because you smoke weed, it's for the original charge, the assault. You're acting up. So that doesn't come up in that statistic. A lot of this stuff doesn't come up in this. So, first and foremost, thank you. Give yourselves a big hand for being here on the courthouse steps. A sight I will always remember. People fight for freedom in Texas. This is about your freedom, your constitution, your heritage. Hemp has been on this continent since 1611. Medical marijuana since 1850. Recreational marijuana since the days of Louis Armstrong, the 1900s. Keep on fighting for it. It's all right. I'm Rat Corn. Thank you.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.